Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Matthew 13 is filled with a lot of parables. So much that we don't even know which one to start with. When you are talking one,
he will now
say another parable. I wonder what happened to these people that did they were hearing Jesus. While you are still trying to understand one parable, you now say the kingdom of heaven can be also like it. The kingdom of heaven can be. So I wonder what really happened in their heart that day. I don't know if you have read Matthew 13 before and you enjoyed it, and at some point you now wonder why you ever started reading it, because just when it seemed like you understood it, you are now getting confused somewhere. Amen. So Matthew 13, okay? We'll read for long, okay? Let's just start reading from verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Next part of scriptures. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Next part of scripture. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Next part of scripture. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. Depth of the earth there means represents soil. Are we together? So when you read the Bible, you always be sure of the application of a particular word. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Next part of scripture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Next part of scriptures. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. See something beautiful. Beautiful, powerful, magnificent. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. Beautiful, powerful, magnificent. What did Jerry come to tell you? Huh? Huh? Sorry? You have to. Or you fall on the wayside. I'm just joking. I don't mean what I'm saying. Alright. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold. Some 60. Some 30. I want to establish something here before we continue reading. Even before we see the interpretation. We all know the interpretation to an extent. That the seed there is God's word, and the ground there is our heart. We're going to read the interpretation subsequently. But you see, God said, alright, according to the scripture here, Jesus is making it clear that the seed was never the problem. It's too clear. Meaning what you have been hearing is not the problem. It could be a problem. Alright? On the strength of Matthew 15:9, if it's a if you hear religious teaching, it could affect you. Are we together? Religious teaching can affect you. You have the potency to affect you. Are we together? But this is not the case. Here Jesus is making it clear that the reason why there was issues in the production, the harvest of this seed, is because of the situation of the ground, which represent the heart of the people that heard. Are we together? The seed is not the problem. And here Jesus is also making us understand in verse 8 that your ground, your heart, can determine the harvest. He said some. This one really touched me when I was reading. He said some. 100-fold was the harvest. He said some 60. He said some then 30. Question is, who should allow it to be 30? Are you people getting on trying to explain it? Why should my own be 30? Why should my own be 60? And when you see 100 there, he's not telling you that 100% is the limit. He's trying to make you understand that some, when they received the word of God, they had the supposed harvest. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Some, their harvest was not in fullness to an extent. Some also little. He said, but some had the supposed harvest. 100% harvest. God said, you are above, you are above. He said, you can live above sin, you're living above sin. Trying to live above sin, 60. Struggling with sin, 30. Once in a while. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But some 100-fold, they eventually, immediately, not because God was too harsh, not because there was some testing or wilderness rubbish the heart. Now, the Bible said in the Old Testament that Jesus did not allow the children of Israel to the shortest path to the promised land because their minds were not mature. That if they had faced war, they would have gone back. Why? Their minds were not what? Mature. Are you listening to me? So it was not the promise that was a problem. The heart of the people were the problem in the Old Testament and still the problem in the New Testament. Are you listening to me? So powerful. Like, it's such a wonderful truth. And the interesting thing here is that some receive 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I mean, I'm never going to be around those that are receiving 30. Because you make up your mind. I mean, you really make up your mind. That I don't want to play religion in this Christianity. I want to see real results. And that's what will make you to shut the door and pray. You have been hustling for 2 years. What is the profit? I mean, pray like you've never prayed for 2 years. And let's see which one pays better. You will discover that the real hustle is prayer. Because it's not like you are not fulfilling natural things. You are fulfilling it. You are working hard. You are obeying natural principles. But the prayer. Now, you haven't judging God not faithful. Because you are reading very hard. You are working very hard. You are greeting people very hard. So you are judging God not faithful because you are not seeing result yet. But you know you are not praying. Someone came to my office. He said, God is not faithful. I said, you are not faithful. And he said, sir, I'm trying to show you I've been serving God. I said, keep your mouth shut. Now, I didn't really shout like this, but I meant it in my heart. I said, stop. I said, why do people come and make God look like he's not trying? Then I asked a question. You seated here. Have you been praying? Say, yes, sir. There are seasons I prayed, but sometimes I got weak. I said, see, you are not consistent. That person's description is in this parable. After a little period, everything vanished. Forget everything. You see, in prayer, what are we doing in prayer? To making sure that the seed that has been sown take its root and is growing. If the word of God is not working in your heart, prayer has not been achieved. Prayer was never satisfied. The purpose of prayer is to build up your most holy faith that came by hearing the word of God. Are you listening to me? So if you are claiming that you are praying and the word of God is not alive in your heart, you are just wasting your time. Because tongues, praying in tongues was never created to exist on its own. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? In fact, prayer has no divination except revelation comes in first. In physics, there are things we call key terms, keywords. You can't define some things in physics without other factors in place already. Take for instance, you want to define acceleration. What must be there already? Physics student, what is acceleration? I'll end this preaching. You know. What is acceleration? Huh? Okay. We have velocity there, then we have time there. Okay, what is velocity? Distance over time. If there was no distance, if there was no time, can velocity be defined? Huh? If there was no velocity and there was no time, can acceleration be defined? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you all here tonight? Hallelujah to Jesus. So it is in praying. If there was no revelation and no time, you see now, we brought time like physics inside this world now. If there was no revelation and time spent on the revelation, there is no prayer. So if you just put time and forget revelation, you still did not pray. You can take time doing without revelation. The Bible said it's clanging. That's what the Bible said. That we are just making noise. So you see, if you want to see real results, you must forget about religion. Are you guys here tonight? Forget about religion. Mean it with God. Mean business with God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And dwelling in the secret place of the Most High is not about prayer alone. It's about showing the fruit of the Spirit also. When you keep quiet, well, you know you have all the right to speak out because the Holy Spirit wants you to keep quiet. You are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. When you don't talk about things you know nothing about, you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Are you listening to me? When you won't bear false witness, you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. When you will not walk in the path of sinners, in the path of the scornful, you are dwelling in the secret. You are with the Spirit. When you are showing all the fruit of the Spirit, you are in the secret place of the Most High. Are you listening to me? So here we are seeing that the seed was never the problem. Tell somebody God is not a problem. The heart where it fell was a problem. And here we are seeing some had 100-fold for a harvest, some 60, and some 30. Because they determined it, not God Almighty. They determined their harvest, the heart that received it. Next part of scripture. Then he said, who had ears? Let him hear. Next part of scripture. He said, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? Next part of scripture. He answered and said unto them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Next part of scripture. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Next part of scriptures. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Next part of scripture. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. Next part of scripture. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lead they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. And you are thinking these are the Gentiles? Prophet Isaiah spoke to Israel, the Pharisees, the Essenes, the Sadducees. That's a prophecy for the Pharisees. They were so dull because of religion they couldn't see. So they couldn't be healed. Are we together? Religion is so wicked. Oh. Very, very terrible. Next part of scripture, 15. Okay, 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they can see, and your ears, for they hear. Next part of scripture. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men has desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them. And to hear now, so who are these righteous men and the prophet? They are still part of Israel. The Elijahs, the Moseses. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? They desired to see. So the Bible said in Hebrews 11, they died in faith, not receiving the promise. Are we together? Now we are in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Still not the preacher's fault. I thought it was the preacher's fault. Notwithstanding, every preacher should be sound in doctrine so that people understand, because we are seeing the fruit of not understanding here. Satan will steal the word of God. But according to this part of scripture, it was the people that heard it that were the problem. They heard it by the wayside. Their mind were in another direction while they were in another direction. I'm talking about you now, that your heart is in the house. You are wondering if we are going to end early. So you are on the wayside. And before you know it, Satan will steal the word from you. And nothing will be in your heart again. Or you are hearing me now, but you are offended because you were instructed last week on a particular manner. The Bible is saying you are on the wayside. You are not focused. You are just on motion. You are seated somewhere, but you are going somewhere else. Are we together? Another way I can even see this, for some people that have already made up their mind. You know, they are already gone, but they just want to hear you. For all righteousness to be fulfilled. He said, then the devil comes and snatches away the word. Especially religious folks, they made up their mind. They will come and ask Jesus a question just to test him, not because they want to learn. Satan, you don't know that technology flowing through your system is what Satan is using to steal the word from you. You are just allowing Satan flow through you. And you find a lot of them around you. When you finish this service and go back home, they'll call you and ask you, what did your pastor even say about rapture? Let me and you read the Bible together. Let's open our heart and understand it together. They don't want to understand with you. They want to steal the word from you. And if the word has not taken root in you, you will fall. Amen? Next part of scripture. 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Very excited, like some people in service. Are you going to bring 100 people to church? Yes! How many of you are bringing your 100? Yeesh. Yeesh. Very excited mental assenters. Wow. Jesus. Preach. And when they go back home, begging for 2,000. They are not even bold enough to face hunger. The slightest opportunity, you didn't see something to eat. There was no rice to eat. You started crying. There was no food. You started asking God, why me? Why not you? Who should it be? Mental assenters. You just finish hearing the word of God, you go back home and they say, I'm not in this relationship again. You start crying. Mental assenters. You just finished service, you are going back on one car, just drove and poured you water on your leg. You're like, idiot! Mental assenters. I go soon buy my car, baskets. Mental assenters. Very excited. You heard the word of God, it blew your mind. When you went back home, they said, I love you. You say, hey, me. Somebody just said, I love you. You fell in the trap. So easy. And that's Satan's agent. And they love you to hell. Who are those people? Mental assenters. Next part of scripture. That's what Kenyon describes you people. A.W. Kenyon. Say, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. They have limit for God. You know, I've heard people say this prayer. God, if by tomorrow, 6 o'clock, if I don't get this thing, just forget me. Just forget me. If I remove my name from your people, because I move. Some will not tell God like this, but they've told God in their heart. If God like, let him understand what they are saying. Just got born again, you received the word of life, you had one or two testimonies when you became born again. You don't think everything should be smooth like that when your life is going like that. You think testimony should be smooth when your life is like this. You can't remember when last you prayed. You want the testimony to be smooth. Shebi is magic you have entered into. So when last did you pray in tongues? You see them giving testimony. A lot have been going through me. I've been going through a lot. Have you been praying? No. Why will a lot not go through you? Because when Satan tries everybody, he does not see who to use. It's you that is not praying, he will use. Men ought to, else the word. That's why you are fainting. Because this trial you are going through, a lot of people are going through it, but they are above. Why? They are praying. But you are not praying. And what does prayer do? It gets the word of God to be alive in your spirit. It sets your gaze on Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So because your eyes are on Jesus, when heat comes, you don't what? See it. When you see somebody complaining about their heat period, what I mean is that their trials and tribulation period, their eyes are not set on Jesus. They are not praying. They are not. Hello, why are you not in church? Sir, I'm not in church because I don't understand. My CA, I had 2 over 40. So whose fault is it? Is it not you that did not read? How does that affect your coming to church? Why are you not in church? I'm not in church because if God is real, why is my mother on the sick bed? And if you look at it, you are the one at fault. Somebody said, I give you power over the power of the enemy. You now come to him and say, why is my mother on the sick bed? Whose fault is it? Imagine I give you a key and I say, anytime you want to open the door, enter and sleep. Rain is falling and beating you and now crying back to me and saying, why is the door not open? Are you not sick in your head? See what God is going through every day. He gives you power and authority. He gets the blame when you don't exhibit your power and authority. He said, I can do all things. What did he say in Genesis 1? He gave man total authority. He said, let us create man in our image and likeness. Let him have what? Over everything. It should be, you have a kingdom over everything. No wonder the Bible said, he said in the book of Matthew, he said, some of you by the right hand side, he said, come receive the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. He gave us a kingdom from the beginning to rule and reign on the earth. Over the affairs of the earth. Are you listening to me? Things should not rule over you. You rule over things. Your mother is sick. Make sure she's okay. He said, heal the sick. Then he said, raise the dead. He said, cleanse the lepers.
listening to me. You are the one to do it. The ball is in your court.
I refuse for anybody to be sick in my house. It's my own responsibility. In the name of Jesus, I don't want my dad to die. It's my own responsibility. In the name of Jesus, he's not dying. I don't need anybody to agree with me. Faith is personal. And guess what? Faith is the victory that has overcome the world. It's the victory that has overcome the world. You want to see yourself living on top, you must be in faith. You must be in faith. Without prayer, you cannot stand in faith. You can't be in faith. Faith is how you float upon the water. You walk upon the water. But you see, the only way you sustain the word of God to be alive in your heart so that you are in faith every time is by praying. Praying in the spirit. The Bible says praying without ceasing. Praying all forms of prayer. All kinds of prayer. Thanksgiving, intercessory prayers, in tongues, and etc. Are you listening to me? You can't be lukewarm as a Christian. You are a soldier. As a soldier, if you are not on your toes, the enemy will come for you. You are a soldier. Remember, you are a threat to darkness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are a threat. The way he will come for you will not be the same way he will come for any other person. You will see it as we are reading. Normal people will not pray. Nothing will happen. You have already declared yourself a soldier. Imagine you see a soldier with gun and everything as an enemy. And you see a civilian just walking. Who will you go for first? Huh? The soldier, of course. Some people say the civilian. Oh, you people are just thinking plenty. If you go for the civilian, will the soldier not kill you? The soldier has what it takes to kill you. So you go for him first. When you finish him, then the civilian has no other option. Are you all listening to me? He said, for he has no reason himself, but endures only for a while. Only for a while. Just 2 Sundays. When tribulations or persecutions arises because of the word. Hey! That one hit me when I was reading it. Why did they come? The word. Any start there hearing the word. She's there praying 1 hour every day. She thinks she's joking. Because of the word, Satan has come. But he came and he found you just cracking jokes on TikTok. You are finished. You find this trouble and went to TikTok. You know, when he sees the word alive in your heart, you are a threat. You are a threat to his vision. He's just somewhere in Kenya. Then he sees one girl in Makodi. Light is just rising. Light is rising. Fire is rising from her. He sent one of his boys. One of his demons. For instance, what's that Edoma demon? Aleku. Say, Aleku, go and stop that thing. Or he sent Azor. Azor, the very little demon in the spirit. He said, go and stop that. You know, some people argue which demon is better. He said, our witch, strong person, our witch. You don't call me Ghana, see witch before. We strong pass Benue Witu. People are arguing development in their country. Nigerians argue which witch is stronger. Yeah? Our witch. The other day, the head of our witch killed 20 cows. Thunder strike them. They will now be clapping for you. Oh, when I get witch, brother. Meanwhile, people are celebrating bridge everywhere in the world. No wonder when they do one in your city, you almost want to fight. Or I was somewhere. You know, if Nigeria go to other countries and stay 2 weeks, they'll come back and almost swear for the leaders of their country. Especially when they hear what those people spend for their project. Somebody will be in China and use equivalent of like 1 billion to do something. You come to Nigeria, you hear it's 101 billion. But that's not the problem. Now, let's focus on the word of God. So when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, why did they arise? Because you are fine.
because of what? He wants to kill the word. It's not you, it's the word. I told you my vision many years ago. I saw many demons around me. And I opened my eyes, I refused to close it again. Around 4 a.m. to 5. I was wondering what kind of demons, and all of them were, they burned their face, they were angry. When I was praying, I said, Lord, what's this? He said to me, clearly, this is how Satan wants you dead. How much Satan wants you finished. I said, with this kind of demons, who will survive? I think I'm finished before I even started. And Lord began to speak to my heart. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church called the Christos. He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, today have I given the keys of the kingdom. That whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you rule on earth is ruled. He said, when you're on Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail. You are not the one pursuing them. You are just static on Christ. As long as you know and are conscious that you're on Christ, forget about the gates of hell. They can't prevail. You are not the one trying to stop them. They are the one trying but can't prevail. You are not even aware when heat comes. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? They are trying but they cannot prevail. That's why you don't raise prayer. We stand against every forces of... He said, whatever... In the book of Matthew, he said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, that whatever you bind on it, you tell them, get out. Lose your grip on this individual in the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You command them out. Cast the demons out. That's why most times when we go for some meetings and we see people praying and doing blah, 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 blah. They want to remove a demon. Blah, 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 blah. It's not that we're trying to be proud. I'm not trying to sound proud. You are doing the right thing at the wrong time. Praying in tongues is not bad, but what you are doing there is not supposed to be praying in tongues. When you meet somebody possessed with a demon, it's not la ba 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 ja ga ba. When you are praying in tongues, you are building up yourself. You are not building up the demon. It's doing nothing to the demon, it's doing something to yourself. Listen, that's why if you observe, when you pray in tongues, when you see a demon possessed person and you pray in tongues for like 30 minutes, you are the one that gets charged and say, get out finally. Nothing happens to them from the tongues. Is that your last statement that causes the demons to leave? Because when you pray as a righteous, tremendous power is available. It's made available. Then as you declare, you put the power to work. Because where the word of a king is, that's where power follows. So if you spoke and did not say a thing, there's no power. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There's no power. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when Jesus made me to understand that wonderful morning, I had no fear. Then he took me to Hebrews 12. He said, you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord. In Christ you are come. Is it John 1, 59 thereabout that says that stone that Jacob was laying his head is symbolic to Christ. He laid his head on a stone while he was sleeping. And the Bible said angels were ascending and descending on that spot. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The Lord explained this to me many years ago. He said, as long as you are conscious of the Christ, as long as you are conscious in Christ and are conscious of him, resting in Christ, he said, that spot where you are becomes the gate of heaven. Angels are ascending and descending. Supernatural activities are happening. Not because you want them. That is why I don't look for angelic encounters. I'm resting on the Christ. Like Jacob with stone on his head. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The stone is, as long as I'm resting, angels are ascending and descending. That has to be the spot for all supernatural activities. Jesus Christ is the gate of heaven. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And as long as I'm resting in him, I am in an eternal hope of supernatural activities. Dynamic supernatural activities are happening. I am not calling for them. I'm not bidding for them. I just need to be conscious that, hey, this is supposed to happen to me. And I don't pray for it to start happening. I just wait for it to happen. You don't get what I'm trying to explain, right? Now, when I understand that I'm in an innumerable multitude of angels, I don't start looking for angels. Set your eyes on Jesus. The Bible does not say remove it and put on angel. Set your eyes looking up to present continuous. Never set your gaze on angels rather than Jesus. Set your gaze on Jesus. As long as you are looking on to Jesus, angels are ascending and descending. people get on trying to explain to you. So you don't say, I've had countless encounters. Believe me, if I begin to say some of them, you would think I'm lying. Sometimes I used to wonder. And thank God lately I heard Pastor Chris sharing how that he was levitating. I remember years ago, I now had the boldness to share because I used to wonder how that people think I'm lying. Was studying the word of God and all of a sudden I was up close to the ceiling. And as I opened my eyes in meditation, I fell back to the cushion because I was scared. I remember Peter was scared and suddenly something wrong happened to him. I fell back on the cushion. Boom. And I said, there, Jesus. It's almost used to me that I hear God audibly. It's almost used to me. Like I'm so conscious that when I want to hear God, I will just hear his voice. But I don't teach that as a doctrine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not supposed to be a doctrine because that's not the designated way for everybody to hear God. It is by the Holy Spirit. But these are encounters that happen by the will of God. You don't bid for them. I can't tell you the countless times I've seen angels doing supernatural activities around me. I can't tell you the countless times. I can't tell you. I can't tell you the countless times I've seen people come to help me. And when they were done and going, I shouted in my spirit. I said, these were angels I encountered. Because I can't see them again. And they've helped me to do what I want to do. But I've never wrote a doctrine on this. I said, this is a doctrine. Even when I saw, I remember many years ago, I asked the question in my heart. I just allowed it like that and I forgot about it. A little child of an angel. I don't know. I did not say angel gave birth to a child. Alright? Please. I saw a little angel. Before you say pastor said angel slept together again. I did not say that. Please. I saw a little. You have to be careful what you say these days. Oh. When you see your name on the internet. Remember the last terrible thing I saw? What they caught and go and put. That season. It's only God that helped me. I saw the little angel hitting me. I thought I was sleeping, but I was awake. Hitting me. He said, your fan is burning. And when I stood up, my fan was on fire on campus. And I rushed off the fire. And I was like, whoo! I just encountered a little angel. I said, tell him, can it just be like this? But I didn't try to even disturb my mind. As long as he told me my fan was on fire and left top. Bye-bye. We continue. Start looking at their kinds of angels, baby angels. If you're not careful, you now say angels, I think they have sex. You see? Taboo. So they give birth to boy or girls. Because you are not careful, you are setting your eyes on things that should not concern you. Focus on Jesus. Let's keep on moving. Like someone in my office were talking, and I think I've passed that point where I'm moved by a being appearing now in the service. Pew! And when he appears, you say, Simon. And the whole church, you say, oh, Messiah, speak to us. Jeremiah entering a new realm of glory. And the whole church will kneel down and say, oh, Messiah. And you say, right now, arise with your people and go to River Benue. And you all fetch one bottle of water each. Take it back, for I will start a new covenant with my people called GCMites. Let it be said that in River Benue, a covenant was caught between them and me. And I'll make their children great. The kind of flock will flock that being that day. We'll say, with all due respect, go back to hell. But you see, if you're not aware of the word of God, if you're not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, anything that just appears in the realm of the Spirit, you'll start bowing your head. I can boldly tell you something. Some of you would think I'm joking. Don't just conclude on realities and scripture. Understand the nature of that writing. For instance, when John was in a trance in the book of Revelation at the Isle of Patmos, the Bible says when... Look at everything. He saw almost everything John saw confused John. Think about it. He didn't understand almost everything that he saw. For everything he saw, he needed an interpretation. when they said to him that, wait, the lion of the tribe of Judah and prevailed. The Bible says he turned to see the lion. What did he see? A lamb. Yet, he still did not understand. Oh my goodness. I wish you understand where I'm coming from. Because in John 1, Jesus appeared to John in the vision. Are you listening? And he said to John, he said, I am he who was dead and now is alive forevermore. I thought John would catch it that that's his brother Jesus. But he did not. He didn't get the message. He who was and now is alive forevermore. You know, meaning Jesus was telling him that I'm the one that died. I'm the one that resurrected. If he got it, why is it that when they said, who is worthy to break the scroll and open the seven seas? Why was he crying when the angel said no one was worthy in the heavens? Why did John started crying? If the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was the victory, why was he crying? Because Jesus had introduced himself to him that I am he who was and is to come, who died and resurrected and is to live forevermore. If you understood that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the victory, why did he still cry when no one was worthy to open the scroll and break his seven seas? Did you get my message? See the next part of scriptures. One of the elders said, do not cry. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He still was not so convinced. When he turned to see the lion, he saw a lamb standing as if it was slain. I'm sure that is when it occurred to him that that was Jesus. Because he's a lamb that took away the sin of the world. But why Jesus was with them, they did not understand the meaning of his death, burial, and resurrection. Little one, that Jesus had to take 40 days to teach them on the kingdom after he resurrected. But you know the most astonishing thing? John did not still catch that revelation. I say that with all boldness. He still did not catch it. That is why I tell preachers sometimes that you have been preaching for 20 years does not mean you understand the gospel. My Smuro of Blessed Memory said, I've preached for 30 something years plus. You go and listen to him on YouTube. He said, I've preached on, I heard him. I'm sure some of you have heard him. He said, I did not understand the gospel. He has been teaching on administration. He has been teaching on marriages. He has been teaching on different things, on leadership. He has even been advising governors, presidents. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Special advisors to nations. Yet he said, one day when I was given an opportunity to learn one last course for PhD or something, he said, then I thought of learning something that relates to my faith, which is the kingdom. He said, when I started studying on the kingdom, I was broken because I now saw that for many years I didn't understand the purpose of Jesus' coming. I didn't understand the gospel. Then he wrote the first book after that, Redefining the Kingdom. How many of you saw that book? If such a man that was advising president would talk like this, are you people getting? I'm trying to explain to you. You know, when we're talking like this, some of you are scared for us. Like E.W. Kenyon will say, you are wondering whether we're touching the most secret things anyhow. Like when you read the book of the books of E.W. Kenyon, he will say things like the disciples at Acts 16 did not understand the gospel, and some people are like, what's the meaning of that? Yes. The first time I read E.W. Kenyon's book, I'm like, who is this one that thinks he knows everything that happened in the Bible? But he was reading it with an open mind. You know, the way we are so religious in Africa, we feel like we are not supposed to be open-minded when understanding things. The way we are brought up, even in our churches, we can't ask certain questions. If you ask certain questions, it's a problem. I hear people get what I'm trying to say. For instance, while I was growing up, I asked a terrible question wherever I was growing up as a Christian. I said, if God has no wife, then why does he have a queen? Now, I became a problem in the church. I was so young. I was being logical because he said queen of heaven. So I said, okay, if God is God, no wife, because I've been watching movies and a queen is a king's wife. You can't be my queen if I'm not married to you. And somehow we should have a prince or a princess. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So if you call her the queen of heaven and you call Jesus the prince of heaven, what do you mean? I don't want to think what you mean. I just want to ask you, what are you saying? I mean, do you know what you are saying? Should we can't even say this atrocity with our mouth. That's what they call heresy. That's adulterous gospel. But people are like, no, just leave it like that. Do you know this thing was supposed to ask question? But how many people ask this question? They even tell you that asking that question is a sin. So young, I asked this question. It threw everybody off their feet. And they started telling me, shh, shh, be quiet. So they just indoctrinated us as we're growing. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So that we now, we became an army. We started fighting for the thing we don't understand. Look at it with an open heart. You understand that John the Revelator did not understand the gospel until Revelation 6. Because if he understood, if he knew that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is our victory, if he knew what Jesus meant, because he was there when he shouted, "It is finished." Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain? But he didn't understand it. He didn't get it. That's why in the realm of the spirit, when that angel shouted, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open his seven seas?" No one in the, do you understand that? If you read the book of Revelation continually, at the end of the unveiling of the seventh seal, the same voice that happened on the earth, that it is finished. There is another trumpet that sounded in the heavens that said, "Now it is finished. It is completed." The same "it is finished" happened in the realm of the spirit when the seventh seal was unraveled. Remember, they were opening the seal and showing us small in several verses and chapters. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain? The seven seals, all right, and the meaning of them. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Bible said he was aback when he turned and saw a lamb standing as if it was slain. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that was the victory that overcome the world. That was the victory. And listen to me, there are many Christians like that who don't understand the gospel. The best example is in the Bible, the Pharisees. They were so blinded by their religion that when they saw the purpose for which their religion ever started, they denied that person, which was Jesus Christ. So blinded by their religion. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. His own received him not. The purpose for church. Church refused the purpose for church. Because he came and was speaking things that did not align with church doctrine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was speaking against church doctrine, so church pursued Jesus. How Satan can use doctrines? I mean, he saw somebody fetching a well over how many years ago that Jacob dug, and now Jacob is dead. The person was seeing that well as a holy well, a secret well. Jesus was like, "Give me water to drink." I mean, he didn't take the well serious. And she said, no, you are not permitted to take from this well, blah, blah, blah. She started saying all the doctrines and dogmas. Then firstly, he got to her. He said, "Tell her about how many husbands she had." Got into the prophetic. You know what Jesus was trying to do? You are drinking holy well, but you are living unholy life. Even this last one now, you are not even sure you're married. He's not even your husband. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, some sort of. I mean, are you understanding me? If you feel any lady feeling uneasy, I'm talking to her. Say, Papa, so the reason why I'm dating him, but I'm liking that one, I'm still giving that one green light, because I don't know which one will come first. But you don't miss any cleaning in church. You don't miss any riaza. I'm not talking to choir people. You don't miss. That's why I didn't want to start with riaza before they think I'm looking at them. You don't miss any function in church. I know those kind of people are not here. Let's continue. So Jesus said, "You are practicing. You are saying this is holy where you are drinking from, but look at your life." And of course, she went for that to open her mouth. Talking about worship, say worship is supposed to be done on the mountain, not like you people who are not qualified to worship. I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus said, worship is not supposed to be done anywhere. Indirectly, he said that. He said, worship is supposed to be done where? In the spirit. He made a joke out of the doctrines, their beliefs. First, he said, "I will dig a well in your heart. You don't need to come here and fetch holy water. You just tap from your spirit. Rivers of living waters." In other words, you don't need to come for somebody to touch the water so that when you pour it in your house, witches will go. You just speak the word in your house and witches go without no water. Kari go sikaya. Oh, I love what is happening tonight. I wish you are catching it, brothers and sisters. Are you here? You don't need to fetch no water anywhere and pour anywhere. From your mouth, rivers of living waters. This one is aqua toss. That we can't toss like these rivers. Imagine you are with aqua toss in your house and you are pouring everywhere. Aqua toss. When you have rivers of living waters. You just say in the name of Jesus, you demons and all your family members, leave. And they leave. You know, some people want to do deliverance. They are removing water and oil and pouring. Go, go, go. Is it that thing that will make them go? These were all pointing to Christ. Now Christ has come. Throw them away. The anointing is not an oil anymore. The Holy Ghost could not enter anybody at that time because there were no people who were qualified to house him. But Paul says in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So we stop using the anointing oil because the real person of the anointing has come to live in us. That's why we don't use it. Why are we not using water anymore? Out of our belly shall flow rivers. Firstly, he said, I am the living waters. That's what he said. But he is living in us. And that's why he said, out of our belly shall flow what? Rivers of living waters, springing forth unto eternal life. Are you listening to me? So you see, Jesus made a joke from our doctrine. And the next thing, talking about the right place of worship, he said, worship is not supposed to be done in any place. When Sheraton Hotel, who believed that one day Sheraton Hotel will be a church for us? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Did they build here to be church? But now that we're here, is this not our church venue? If we change location to where we're building now, is that not our church venue? But who is the real church? You and I. We are the real church. Anywhere we go becomes church. So worship is done in the spirit, from your bedroom, not on the mountain. So if you want to pray and be satisfied with your prayer, Christ is your rest. You can pray on your bed. You don't need to climb a mountain. There's insecurity everywhere. Be in your homes and pray. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You don't need to travel to any eastern part, western part of the country and climb any mountain. You are acting ignorantly. Worship is done in the spirit, by the spirit, in the spirit. The Bible says we are the circumcision of God in Christ Jesus, who are qualified to worship God in the spirit. Who is our qualification? Christ. And worship is done in the spirit via truth. The word and in Greek is kai. It is via truth that worship is qualified to be done in the spirit, not when you are chanting things you don't understand. I come in peace. Now, am I against chanting entirely? No. No. It's okay to chant. Alright? It's very okay to chant. That's why praying in tongues, Paul said, I will sing in the spirit. He said, I will pray in the spirit. So it's okay. But don't make it a modus operandi. Because what will profit the church is prophecy. Prophecy is for exhortation. By prophecy, I mean God speaking through you. The germinating of prophecy, not the word of knowledge form of prophecy. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? God speaking through you. When God speaks through you for the people, it is for what? Exhortation. It is for what? Edification. And for what? Comfort. So when you sing songs like, there is hope in the promise of the cross, he gave everything to save a world he loves, and this hope is an anchor for my soul, our God, unshakable. And you do something like this. Which one is making sense to angels and to people? Which one is blessing people? You are not set to come and do worship to bless angels. It's to exhort people. Angels are blessed and the spirit realm. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? What is more important are human beings. So when you sing that, everybody can join in worship. But when you start, like it's war. They don't understand. Some of us who are Christians for a while, like we can relate with you. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? We can do it, we can tell you, because we know where the carriers go. But those ones just coming to church for the first time, they're like, they're like, ooh. Woo, bro, this thing will fit rap. Oh. Okay, let me give one line from this. You see, they are thinking of rap. Now, do you understand? Are we against singing in tongues? No. There's a point. We traveled to you, then you will now lose us at a point. No problem. But we have not traveled. You want to just lose us from the beginning. Imagine, before we started the journey, we were lost. Imagine somebody that promised us that he's taking us to Abuja. We just got to Lafia and say, I don't know anywhere again. No. Just in Lafia. I've had that experience. So we pass ahead. See, he knows Abuja very well. We're driving confidently. I carried only him. We're moving. Oh, we got to Lafia. I say, well, wait. I say, I'm not so sure. Let me check the map. Check the map. You won't use map for Lafia, reach Abuja. Hey, we're in trouble. I just parked the car, say, Pastor, you want to kill me? We don't even know where we are going to. I said, Pastor, I said, now God, help us. Help us to ask questions to good people. Before we go and ask one bandit, you say, follow there and bend like this. And when we bend, you will not take it. Soon as well, there was a cavalry. We use Okada that day. There is nothing we did not use. Even road safety. We used them that day. See, we got to a point. He said, hey, now I understand. I said, me too, I understand. Because it's obviously a straight road. Who will not understand? So that's how some people worship. They just climb the pulpit. No, it's not bad to sing in tongues. Brother, we're just starting the journey. Calm down. We get to a point that two of us will agree that we can be lost now. Because the Bible says when we pray in tongues, it says our mind is unfruitful. It says, but in the realm of spirit, we are making sense. Now, that's not bad if we are doing it at home. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But when we're in church now, and some of us are believers, some of us are yet to be believers, we don't focus on tongues. That's what Paul said. You can pray in tongues for 5 hours. It will not profit most people here than what I'm teaching today. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And when you catch this revelation, then faith, praying in tongues makes more sense. Because when you begin to pray now, you are building up your most holy faith that came by hearing the word of God. Are you all listening to me? So church had a problem with Jesus. And he told them all those things are junks. They are all junks. Go back to where we were in Matthew 13. And of course, you know what happened next. They all had a problem with Jesus, the Pharisees. They hated Jesus. Church leaders hated Jesus. The bishops, they all hated Jesus. He came to his own. His own received him not. And let me say something powerful that I've been saying before. Please pay close attention to understand me. When Jesus made a statement, he said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how have I longed to gather all of you as a mother hen want to gather her chicks. He said, but you rejected me. Then he said to them, as long as their carcasses, he said, the eagles will come and finish you people. Meaning eagle, vultures are more like seeing dead bodies. When vultures see dead bodies, what do? They come and feast on the dead bodies. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus is like, you people in religion are just dead corpse. Even though you are religious, you seem like you are worshiping God. You are dead people just acting religiously. He said, and as long as you are dead, judgment will come from Satan. Because he's the father, he's the one in charge of the realm death at that time before he resurrected. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And it happened to them. Do you know that according to what Jesus said, the prophecy, if you look at it, Jerusalem's temple was destroyed. Yes, the Romans took charge of them. Like Jesus predicted. Now, are we seeing in our days, one time I was watching a church, a state in UK, a news, they were celebrating freedom from a particular, freedom from of church from a particular town, in a particular town. The last cathedral that was so big, a religious cathedral, they took a hold of it. They were doing club inside the cathedral. And they were very happy that they are free. And while tears filled my eyes, I wanted to start crying. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, as long as there are carcasses, the vultures will gather. Ah, I was lighting up again. He said, if you are practicing religion, not true Christianity, this is what will happen to you. But if you are on Christ, the gate of hell will not what? Prevail against you. Why does it seem like they are disrespecting the church? They've not met real church. If they met you, they can't. If they meet you, I mean, they can't do that kind of thing to you. It's not possible. Do you understand? I'm trying to explain to you. When you meet true Christians, you will truly change if you are an unbeliever. I told you a story of a young man in Remedia. I never knew he was a thief. He said prior to that time he started staying with us because he had a problem with his landlord, and we decided to house him. We just came into Remedias and he was one of the first people we knew, me and my friend at that time. So we told him to come and stay with us. And we didn't know this boy was a thief. He had been stealing before he came to the house. One of the days, I took my bag. I wanted to go out, just go and pray in technical blocks. And he knelt down and started crying. He said, why are you crying? What is happening? I called his name. Why are you crying? He said, since I entered this house, my life has changed. And me and my friend, we sat down, we're watching him. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I have been stealing. Do you know I'm a thief? I said, no, I don't know. I don't know you're a thief. He said, I carried your watch several times. I kept it back. I've carried your money several times. I kept it back. I've carried your wallet several times. I don't know. Since I came here, I can't thief again. I said, you have been stealing people's things. He said, yes. Mention a few cases. Of course, I didn't know how to go and tell people that this is the person that had done one or two things they would have heard. And I was so emotional. Of course, we didn't drive him after that day. We hugged him. In fact, we welcomed him. We concentrated on him with one eye and with another eye. But we're so excited that transformation has come to him. He changed completely. Became a true Christian. Even his dressing, everything changed. You see? And that's how people will change if you are really light of the world. Are you listening to me? They will change. Is it not unfortunate that today in today's Christianity, when we go to church, you know, I was preaching to somebody, and Pastor Benson too in the military had the same experience. He said he was talking to this brother, and the brother said he started drinking alcohol in church. The guy is an addict. I'd met somebody too who received Jesus. I met him many, you know, how many of you know, what's the name of that, your compound again? Bahamas. How many of you know that place they call Bahamas in BSU? One of the oldest buildings. We're living there before, not in Bahamas exactly. A compound before Bahamas. Now, there's this road we always used to bend towards Bahamas. That street to Bahamas by the right-hand side. There's this shop. I think they are still there. The man sells all kinds of hard substances. Is he still alive? God bless his soul. Yeah? Is he alive? Okay, no, I was not wishing anything. I'm just asking a question. He is an old, quite an old man, not really old, but there's a way he was walking that time, like he looked it. But he used to sell all of these hard substances there. And one of those days, while I was passing, the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, you will not preach for these people. I don't know if he has the Holy Spirit ever convicted, just speak to your heart, and you did like you did not hear him very well. He said, you will not preach to these people. You know, we like preaching to people who look okay. You are passing somewhere and you just see people drawing Igbo. You are like, God, only you can do what no man can do. Only you can touch any situation at all. I mean, God needs you to touch those people. And when I did something like that while I was in the barracks, but that day was quite unique because it's another person. I'm coming to Benway for the first time and that kind of thing is happening to me. He said, enter that place and preach. I turned. I wanted to take permission. I didn't even know who to take permission from. So I opened. They used to cover. You know, there's one place they cover by the side. I don't know how people notice that. There's a shop where you buy something, but there's another place where you cannot see anybody. Only smoke will be rising. So I opened the curtain. I said, good afternoon, everyone. Smiling. They were just looking at me, wondering what the heck brought me here. I said, I raised my Bible up. I said, I'm a pastor. I came to preach. Nobody was smiling with me. So I said, can I preach? One hand in hand like this. So I sat down and I started preaching. Did I even sit down? I don't even know that I sat down or stood. But I remember I was preaching. As I was preaching, the anointing took over. I kept on speaking. At the point I closed my eyes and were declaring the word of the Lord. I didn't know that five people are almost going to receive Jesus. When I was done, when I wanted to lead people to Christ, have you been there before? You want to lead people to Christ? Satan said, nobody will hear you. Nobody actually see their face. Did they look like people that heard you? Then when you say, if there's anybody here that wants to be born again, lift your hand. Then you see somebody, you are like, what I said really worked. It's not you, it's the word of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why you should know the word of God very well. It's not you that can change the word. It's the word. The gospel is the power. You are not the power. The gospel, that's why we need to understand this word of God very well. Something happens to the human spirit when you hear the undiluted word of God. It has the potency to save anybody. It is the power of God unto salvation to anybody that believes. And I told you before, you think the believing is tied to the people that are hearing you? Who told you that? They don't have what it takes to believe until you spoke. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. It was when you started speaking that the reciprocal action will be faith rising from them. The faith they need to receive Jesus comes from the preaching of the word from your mouth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As you begin to preach to that unbeliever, as he's hearing you, another thing is happening, like Newton's third law of motion. An equal and opposite reaction. What is that reaction? Belief, faith. It is rising. It is your preaching that will cause the belief. That is why the Bible says the earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons. And if you check a little bit before that time, when Jesus resurrected and blessed the 12, he said, go into the world and make disciples. I didn't know that had a connection with Romans 8 and 19. He said, go into the world and make people like me. Then Paul also said, the earnest expectation of creation await the manifestations of the sons of God. In other words, if you are truly a son, then you must truly understand God's word. Because as you are preaching it, disciples are rising. Disciples are getting metamorphosed. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes, you understand. And while I was talking to these people, five of them received Jesus. Five of them. It blew my heart. You know, I used to have a very bad view of people that smoke. A very bad view. I got repented one of those days I was preaching. I won't say fully repented this day that five people received Jesus. And I invited them to the fellowship that time and I led them to several churches. One refused to go back to his church. I said, why? He said, Pastor, that's where I started this habit. Some sort of a program. I can't remember the name. Something like Zasaba, something like that. I can't really remember. He said, that's where he started it. I said, okay, follow me to my own fellowship. It was a fellowship. He was attending our fellowship before he left Makurdi. Hallelujah to Jesus. Many years ago, I remember I was in church as a young lad. And we were quite on fire. And one day, I was in charge of the sound. I was the technical head. My gen never went off. And you can go and ask for the record, like Peter Obi will say. Go and ask for the record. Now, one of those days, when my gen didn't go off, I was, where was I? My gen never went off. Is Jerome? Where is Jerome? Is he hearing me? Jerome! I hope that Jen will not off. Okay. Now, one of those days that my Jen didn't go off, as a technical head, something happened. So when my Jen did not go off, I observed. we were supposed to have a youth week. So I thought the youth week should be prayer. Chadua Keo. I thought it should be prayer. I didn't know what was happening in that community. When they say youth week, they were like God has been dulling them for a while. So they want to just flex and continue living with God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it's like God giving them a break to flex for a while. Guess what they did one of the nights of the youth week? Party. In church hall. They on our gen. Technical gen. Gen that I used to use my hand touch. You know, I was not aware. We were little kids, so they felt we were small children. And because they knew our perspective, they didn't want us to be invited. We just came unannounced, unaware. We're just passing church and hearing one kind of, is there a church that somebody say, he get us and they do me? Wait, let me check that thing very well. Is church that song is coming from? Enter the place inside church. I called one of my friends. I said, come and see what is happening in our church. Before he came, I was at the, as I opened the hall, blue lights everywhere. Men on women backs dance inside church hall. In their mind, they did not do it where Jesus is. They did it where Jesus is not there. Just the church hall. And immediately as a young child, guess what started happening? Tears started falling from my eyes. I was looking at it with bottle of star. I never believed that in a church my heart would be broken like this. As the tears was falling, I now went, I said, this is wrong. I was lifting my hand. This is wrong. This is wrong. Nobody looked. They were laughing at me. He's a small boy. He does not understand life yet. Guess what I did? I didn't dull Jesus. I go lie for you. I went outside and off the gen. And I hid it. They own it again. I went and off it. I hid it. They own it again. I off it finally. Then I said, the gen have spoiled. They ended the party. At least I ended the party for Jesus. A demonic party. Just like Jesus ended something too. That like seemed like a party. Was it bazaar or something? He ended. One time they were selling and drinking in church. He entered with Cain. Weep there. You know, some of you, I was telling some people out there, I said, because you see us as pastors, you think you just come and say, get out from here, you pastor. I said, if we enter Jesus mode, Jesus remote, Jesus Koboko mode. See, some of you are very stubborn. This preaching is not for some of you. Say, pastor, just stir me up. I'm going with you. Were already in Koboko mode. It's not that you have been. You like fight, some of you. Let me not even talk about that. It's not, this preaching is not for this atmosphere. For I stir violence in this place. Because some of you are ready to fight. So when we say it, you just start fighting. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I ended it. I was so destabilized. I was like, this thing in church? Then one of those days, I remember I was coming to service. And also the person that was supposed to lead the English. Sorry, the service. The Lord give you understanding. He was what's the opposite of English? He was going to lead the English, and what was being played was that Two-Face song. I can't remember the name. It's a party song, something about party. It's like it's the enter the place self. Yes, I was saying bum 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 from the car. Enter the place. Something like that. I paid close attention. I said, Jesus Christ. There's a person that's supposed to give me body of Christ. I said, no, I'm not going. I tell you the truth, I didn't go that day. When I went, I sat far. Because in my heart, I should be the one to put it in his mouth, not him in my mouth. And I told my mom, I'm not going to go again. They whipped me to go. I went the next. I had to go. to fulfill all righteousness. How many of you did some things to fulfill all righteousness as you grew? Because if you will not do, you, in fact, the way they will beat you. My mother made sure, even though I did not follow Jesus very well, I was just around where Jesus was. She made sure I was around where Jesus is. She did not teach me revelation, but she made sure where Jesus is, if he's around somewhere, I should just be close around there. Do you know they flogged me to go to church? So I told my mom I was not going to be going there again. I started explaining scriptures to her. She would tell me, stop all those things, let's be going to church. When I'm done explaining, oh yeah, carry your shoe, let's be going. When I'm done explaining, oh yeah, let's be going. She didn't care. The day she heard that I was playing in another place, playing drums or singing in another place, she would go and tell them that I am not part of that church, or they should pursue me. It was that serious. She'll be telling people I'm not supposed to be there, that if they see me there, in fact, my father is a catechist, so it's an atrocity for me to be there. If not, they'll come and cause trouble there. Jesus came to his own, and his own what? Received it not, because of religion. They were playing what? And it's happening today. Why do you think there are a lot of churches but no truth? Even to talk to the government today, how many people are talking to the government? How many people? I mean, there are many matters to talk about to the government, especially as prophet. Those days, when Saul does something wrong, he can't sleep well. He knows before 6 a.m. Samuel is in the palace. Immediately he hears the knock, you say, is it Samuel? They'll say yes. He'll start arranging himself because he knows he has done something wrong. But these days, Saul is inviting Samuel for dinner party after taking wrong decisions. The Lord give you understanding. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because religion is what is being played, not true what? Christianity. And you see, a generation must rise. A generation must rise. No disrespect to people that have gone ahead of us, but we're not taking the wrong answers. We're standing with the truth. We're not insulting anybody, but we're standing with the truth. Now, my dad told me 1 + 1 = 11. How many of you believe it? How many of you follow 11 because my dad is my father and I'm your pastor? You see, because Prophet Simon's dad said 1 + 1 = 11, let's follow. How many of you will follow that? Pastor will respect you, will respect your dad, but sir, 1 + 1 is evidently not 11. It is 2. Wrong is wrong no matter who said it. What is not true is not true. It doesn't matter who said it. We don't insult you, but we are not following that pattern. Else we are sowing a seed of wrong culture for the next generation. Are we together? It was playing well, oh. I hope you play well too. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Are we together? Not me, I'm waiting to hear something. Let me just miss my... I'm was in... Yes, oh. Let's consider, let's try, let's anything just happen here. Everywhere will scatter now. All right, where was I? Eh? Sorry? No matter who says it, it is wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? No biases. And you see, God spoke to my heart. He said you must learn to say the truth in love. You see, sometimes when we hear people in error, right? The way we hit that error is as if we have been waiting for them to enter into error. Have you seen people who correct like that? The way they correct is like they've been timing this person to just fall. There's a way you advise somebody that he will know that, Kai, even though advice is painful, this person means well for me. Your advice should be like you are saving a brother, not trying to kill a brother. Are you listening to me? Very important. Because no matter what, they belong to us. They don't belong to the world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They belong to us. Glory to God forevermore. Take for instance how you correct your siblings at home. Let's start from there. How many of you have ever driven your brother out of the house because he did something wrong? Or your sister? How many of you? But did you correct what was wrong? Did you drive them out? Did you tell them that they will not eat? Even if you talk like that, your parents will tell you, you are not eating this food. 10 a.m. they'll come and wake you and say, I'll go and eat. Have they not done that to you before? My mother will tell me that I'll not eat because I went to one fellowship those days. But 10 a.m. when she looked at my stomach, it's almost touching my bone. She said, stand up and go and eat that food, stupid boy. If you like, next time, come back late again. Because she doesn't want me to die. Are we together? Promise, I'm waiting for you. You know, my conclusion, we have come to the end of the session. This is my conclusion. You see, forget religion, throw them away. Let's end with this beautiful story that you all know. I want to paraphrase it. Many years ago, a dear man of God called Samson, by the jaw of a donkey, he killed over what? 1,000 Philistines. When he took, if you read the Bible, it said when he took the jaw of the donkey, the anointing came upon it. And by that, just I say, Samson, God. See, I'm calling you Samson. Promise, what is happening? Nothing is wrong in that laptop. It's me that is telling you people. He's just wondering whether I should start or not. Alright. By the jaw of that donkey. Don't play what you are hearing, you know. By the jaw of that donkey, what happened? He killed over what? 1,000 Philistines. The anointing came upon the jaw of the donkey. When he was done, what happened? He threw it away. Are we together? He what? Threw it away. Glory to God forevermore. He threw it away. The Bible says, and he went back to his city. You know my best part of that scripture? That why, when he was done, he threw it away. He didn't carry it to Israel and say, oh Israel, let it be known to you that by this jaw of a donkey, today the Lord killed over 1,000 Philistines. He threw it away because he knew the anointing came from him and through the jaw of the donkey and killed over 1,000 Philistines. He knew the jaw was nothing necessary. If it was cutlass, it would have flowed through cutlass. If it was anything, it would have flowed through it. Because the anointing was transmitting from him through that thing to doing anything else out there. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? He didn't create a tradition out of it. You know what is killing the church today? Traditions. Traditions. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 15:9. We're going to read together, everybody. Matthew 15:9. And in vain they worship me, teaching doctrines, the commandment of men. Teaching us what? Doctrines, the commandment. If we check to the, in the root, the word commandment there is also interpreted traditions of men. To explain further, Colossians 2 from verse 8 and 9. In the Amplified rendition, very fast. It says, Colossians 2:8. As we conclude, see to it that no one takes you captive through what? Philosophy and empty deception, pseudo-intellectual babble, according to the traditions and musings of what? Men. Following the elementary principles of this world, rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. You see that? If you follow traditions, wrong doctrines, it will keep you what? Captive. It will subject you. It will steal from you. This is how Satan steals from us. He steals from us. That is why if you read the Bible around verse, go back to Matthew 13 and see something beautiful there. Around verse 25. Is it verse 25 or 15? Go to verse 15. 15? Alright, go to verse 25. It should be one of them. Okay, so let's start from verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who what? Sowed good seed in his field. Next part of scripture. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. See how Satan works. God said, I've been sown. While the teacher is sleeping, Prophet Simon goes back to his home, you go back to your house, you begin to hear other things. You know, while we're fighting and saying, don't just hear anything that comes to your ear, it's not because we just want to be the only teacher in your life. It's so that the truth is protected. Listen to Paul. After he came back to the same people he taught, oh ye what, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You see, through their doctrine, Satan bewitched them. Satan started controlling them. He allowed people to sow wrong things in their heart, and from those wrong things, he found a way was paved for him to enter into their life and start destroying them. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? That's how the devil works. That's why Paul told Timothy to be careful of the things he believes and shares with the people. That if he's careful, that way he's saving both his life and what? The people that hear him. Listen, wrong doctrines are like darts on us. Like darts on us in the realm of the spirit. Imagine you are all white, but there are black darts on you. The reason for those black darts on your body is because of wrong doctrine. And those wrong doctrines that will cause black darts on your human spirit, in the realm of the spirit, paves way for Satan to put his leg and come into your life. That's why Paul said, give Satan no foothold. This is how you give him a foothold in your life. Listen to what Paul said. He said, you'll be subjected. It's something will be stolen from you via traditions of men. Mere traditions of men. It is both local and international tradition. Yes. Sometimes you go to the hospital and they tell you, and there's nothing that can happen again, go and count your days. That's a tradition. That's what they think. Jesus, the great physician, lives in you. Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. You're not going to be healed. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Eat your neighbor as it gets sparked by the word. Don't look like you're finished. You know, some of you are like, you look finished. You are not finished. Is there hope for a tree when it's cut down? The writer said there is no hope. He said, but at the scent of water, he said, thy blood will rise. That's why the Bible said, you see, because the heart is the problem. He said, today, when you hear the word, harden not your hearts. He said, some doctrines, they fell on rocky grounds. You know, rocky ground, according to the interpretation, when I looked at it so much, the Bible said, Christ is a rock on which we stand. All other ground are what? Sinking sand. God spoke to my heart. He said, these are already established beliefs in the heart of people. They are already established in your heart. When we say it, it just hits and bounces back. You already have a mentality, a way you see life. Christ is the light of life. In him was life, and that life became the light of men. He's my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my light. I see through Jesus. The Bible says in those days, finally in the kingdom reign, he said the Lord himself shall become our light. He said there will be no morning or night because the Lord God is our light. Morning and night does not mean morning, this kind of morning. And it means sorrows, problems and the rest, because God will give us clarity. No problem in our lives. Why? There's clarity. You don't believe what I've said, right? Imagine you the Bible says you are the light of the world. You know what that means? You don't need light. You are light. Little one said, be perfect as your father. How can I not tell somebody that is light of the world that is perfect? If you are light of the world, you are perfect. Many say you are not perfect. Who cares what Jay-Z or Beyonce will say or sing or what Two-Face says? Probably that's why they are acting the way they act. Now I say I am perfect. Because God says I'm perfect. I don't care what celebrity thinks we cannot be perfect. God said, be perfect. Be perfect. He's calling into a manifestation. Because he has given you everything necessary for perfection to be possible. And this is how Paul puts it. He said, God has given us everything for life and godliness. Everything means everything. I can be broke, brother. You heard the testimony of the sister on Sunday. I was streaming it again when I went back home. She said, when pastor said, I have all my needs, I agreed. And I said, I'm going to pay. She was owing. She said to the person, I'm going to pay tomorrow. Something like that. By 12 noon, the next day. Was it the same day or the next day? The next day. She called the time. Faith is precise. You know, Ezekiel said, God Almighty, what do you think? I mean, God Almighty asked Ezekiel, Son of man, what dost thou thinkest of this dry bone? He said, God Almighty, only you knows. He said, let me tell you what I think. Speak to this. Speak to that. When he was done saying it, nothing changed. He took what God have said and said it. That's when something started changing. Faith is precise. When God speaks, you boldly speak. If you don't speak boldly, not timidly, because if it's timidly, it's no faith. It's boldly. When you speak it boldly, a miracle follows. And she said, when the person called, almost to 12, she went to her boss confidently and said, there's something I need to pay, blah, blah, blah. Like magic, he said, give me the person's account number. Now, some people say it's a coincidence. I like that kind of coincidence. It's just a coincidence. I think when they said none of his bones will be broken for Jesus, and the soldier looked at Jesus, the Bible says, according to their tradition, they are supposed to break the bones of people that die and go and bury them. They broke everybody's bone. When he came to Jesus, the soldier said, I don't know, let's not break his bone. Some people will say, I'll not do it for you. If I do it for you, my oga will verse. There's a certain kind of favor that can come upon you. That somebody will know that the oga will verse. Imagine that soldier. Who are you to break the culture of an entire tribe, an entire nation? But because it was written, and not because it was just written, Jesus said it. Thou shalt not allow thy holy one to see corruption. He said it. Jesus said it. Listen, every principle he gave us, he followed. 9 months in the womb of a woman. He did not do 3 months. He did 9 months. Came out and prayed like he told us to pray. Early in the morning, in the night, he's praying. Teaching us life. He knew why he did it like that. Many wake up in the morning and pray. In the night, pray. And anytime you have time, pray. The Bible says he will leave the people as his custom was. He will leave them and go to a very quiet place and begin to pray. But sometimes we need to leave people. They talk too much. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Go and pray. The money came for how? It came. Why? The heart. You know, some people were hearing that testimony. They're like, but I've been trusting God. The Bible said some hearts are rocky grounds. Some are smooth. Some are terrible. And some, the reason why their heart is like that is because of their experiences in this life. Then he said, today when you hear the word, because your experiences can make you hard, make your heart hard. Some are watching online, they are just like, forget all those things, we have been hearing it. Harden not your heart. Don't lock your heart. Open up your heart. Like a baby, receive this word of God again. Receive it like a child. Tell yourself, the reason it didn't happen is because I didn't get it well. Now I'm receiving it. Because the seed was not the problem. Where the word fell upon was the problem. The heart. At the end of everything, the Bible said, but for a particular kind of heart that was not locked. He said they receive a 100-fold harvest, another 60-fold, and another 30. Now he now said, let him that have here, let him here. Meaning that the ball is in your court. Work out your salvation with what? Fear and what? Shame. Work it out, brother. Work it out. Work it out. In the name of Jesus, I'm the best. With no fear in your heart. I'm the best. The whole world will hear my voice. I'm going to speak to the whole world about Jesus. And I'm talking my own. I don't know what you are aiming. But Jesus can take you there. Are you listening to me? So God is making me the greatest surgeon in the whole world. And when they ask me, how did you get there? I'll tell them, firstly, let's give glory to God Almighty. For he brought me here. That's gospel you are preaching already. That's not somewhere I can preach probably. But you are preaching already there. How did you become the best in your field? Oh, sit down, let me tell you. And they will sit down, they will pay billions to even hear you talk. See, firstly, see, is this thing you have been hearing? Oh, is Jesus? Oh, But you see, me, when I heard him, I did not lock my heart. I opened up my heart. I heard like a baby. They were pursuing a child. Jesus said, allow the little ones come to me. He said, for to them belongs the kingdom. Meaning, if you want to capture and enjoy this kingdom, receive it like a babe. You know what it means? As I'm talking now, it's as if I am thinking you are a child. See, this thing pastor they tell us, it isn't our children will be. That's a good place to be. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's a it isn't the speak to small, that you are in a good place. Receive it from this place. It just they brainwash all these children. That is why you will see a manifestation. If you're not feeling like a little child, you are born again now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are growing again. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you must receive it like a child. Because you are born again. You can't be receiving it with that wisdom you had in the world. You receive it like a child. Like a child. Do you understand? And you know what you have received. What you have received is so precious. It's the word of God. There is a way you handle it. You handle it with care. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You go back home. I just heard the word tonight. In the name of Jesus. What did the Bible say? It said, they that meditate upon the word of God, it says they shall be as what? Tree planted by the rivers of water. It said, whose root shall never wither. And that whatever they do, the Bible says, whatever I do should prosper. And that is my, I mean, that's hundredfold. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't have this kind of stinking testimony. When I started that, it failed. When I started that, it failed. It failed from where? You can't tell people that. When you remember that whatever you do prospers. When you want to say what I started, you can't complain. I started something and it's successful in the name of Jesus. You can't say it failed. It's successful. They think you are lying. You are not lying. You are calling out the things which are not as though they were. The Bible says, Abraham staggered not in the situation. Staggered not. He didn't allow the condition of Sarah's womb. He didn't allow science dictate his end. They say as 50, the woman cannot give birth. Abraham said, God said, I'll be a father of nations. Although Sarah is more than 50, I know there's a baby in her womb. They say she has passed menopause. He said, forget about it. There's a baby in her womb. Immediately God said that he'll be a father. He started seeing baby. He started seeing babies. Immediately God says, start seeing it. Start seeing it. If God says it, start seeing it. Just start seeing it. You know, some of you need to go back to your secret rooms again. Secret rooms of prayer like children. And cry for the word of God to become a manifestation. Because you have made him too small in your eyes for years. Why? Because of circumstances. You need to go back again and cry. That's where Paul stood from. I mean, John the Revelator, when he said, go back to your first love. Go back. There was a certain time that you heard the word and you couldn't contain it. But now it's like music to your ears. Go back. He said, tonight when you hear the word, today, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Go back like babies. Possibly like little children. Receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Like little children. There's no pride in this business with God. No pride. If I don't know it, I don't know it. If it's not working, there's no pride. You go back to the secret place and say, God, I've come. They are calling me apostle out there. But I know you. You know me, I know you. Lord, let this thing work, Holy Spirit. They are calling me bishop, but God, let it work. Let it work tonight in the name of Jesus. Let it work. glory to God. The devil is wicked. Let's conclude with that scripture. Go back there in Matthew 13. Let me try to conclude. Now listen, before we pray, I just want to hit the nail on the head. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Remember, it was because of the word in your heart. We just read that tribulations and persecution are rising. Remember again, see the Bible said, when Jesus planted, that is where Satan wants to come and plant. Not anywhere, there are places to plant, there are unbelievers. But when God planted something in you, when you became born again, it was you, his eyes were on immediately. Why men slept? Sometimes it's wrong doctrines. But you know the astonishing thing? If you go downwards here in the interpretation of this thing, I was confused in my office for a while. I said, why did the Bible say, the Bible is now likening this task to human beings? I said, why human beings? So I can't conclude again with the first understanding. Then I found out that Satan, sometimes if people are not aligned, they are not born again, or they are born again but not spiritual, Satan will bring them very close to you, some of them, so that they'll be saying things against your faith, things against your belief. Go down, you see that these stars are human beings. See, Satan is very strategic. He means everything. No, he means, he's like a roaring. It's not just a lion. A lion doing guarding his territory, roaring lion, looking for souls to devour. He will bring men. Even Jesus, before the crucifixion, Satan was saying things like, we love you, Master, don't die, blah blah blah. He said, get behind me, Satan. Even in the company of Jesus, he rebuked Satan. He will bring different kind of people. Be very careful. Sometimes, I tell you, I'm not trying to demean anybody. Sometimes if somebody is not aligned even in church with you, he can speak something against your faith. You just see one joke. Hear one joke. Now, well, this gospel, how person want to take the perfect like this? When I joke, that joke is a seed. It's called tares. They came to human beings. Words. Sometimes you are in a car, in a bus moving, and you hear a word that just makes you feel disappointed. You think Satan doesn't have power like that? He's strategical. Wherever God plants, that's where he comes to plant. You are wondering, why will he plant when I'm driving in a car? When I'm in a bus going to Abuja? Why? He can plant anywhere. Why do you observe that sometimes when people are with us, especially students, immediately they travel? Have you observed that? Those that go for NYSC, immediately they travel. You don't understand after 2 months. Because pastor is not there again. They thought they were strong. They are not hearing anything again. Before you know, you start hearing terrible news. For some of them, not all of them. Some of you are about to go. You better be careful. When they say follow service online, you're like, men ought to live by the word of God. The Bible says, see, it said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of the Lord. Meaning you have to be hearing God.
Yes,
you have to be hearing the word.
Yes,
whether you are not around, be streaming. That word is for you. Are you not a member of the church? That word is for you. Why do you think God is preaching it? Is it just for me? It's for all of us. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Next part of scripture, as we conclude. He will just plant it in and go his way. You'll be struggling with that thing. Sometimes it will even turn into an addiction. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So they are walking now side to side. Next part of scripture. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Satan has sent human beings to come. Next part of scripture. That's why some of them, they will be in church serving God, or women so dedicated to God. While it's time for them to start ministry, you are seeing it as a man of God that this one is ought to be a pastor. Before you know, boom, Satan has sent one man to come and marry them that is not even born again. Somebody will say, you don't want your ladies to marry. Imagine you are a father and your daughter wants to marry somebody that you know will take her into a wrong path, how many of you will be excited to give your daughter out? Nobody will be excited. One of our person here who was a pastor, a lady who was a pastor, this lady had prayed for somebody who was dying, or even dead, Abby, that was dead, brought that child back to life. That lady, many years ago on campus, when everybody travels home, she will not travel. They'll ask her why. She said, if I go, who will do my work? So dedicated. Not because she wanted pastor to marry her. I tell you the truth. She was really in love with God. One day, we heard that she was gone. They were persuading her from the house. Get married. She was gone. I didn't even know. They did not tell me anything. I just said she's married. It broke my heart. But I said no word. She's married? To who? How? Not that she was really old. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In her 20s. Before we knew it, we now heard about after several years, she was reported to through somebody that she regrets, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't want to even see me. She doesn't know what she will say to me. The person she even married is a smoker. She just got to realize. And believe me, with all due respect to our parents, sometimes Satan can use even your parents. Be careful. Go and marry. You are getting old. Don't allow that thing get to your head. Calm down. It's your father's house. Argue that house. It belongs to your father. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Argue it in righteousness. Now my papa's house, I go day here. Don't be pressured to run away. And sometimes because you want to run away, you just pick anybody, any husband, possible husband that comes to you. Say, the next person that comes to me, I will just pick him and go. I'm tired of this house. You see Satan, right? Serving God, loving the Lord. Immediately it's time for you to be ushered fully into ministry. Somebody comes knocking. Marriage. And the worst thing now, you have checked all your secondary schoolmates, your best friend. It's only you that is remaining. Only you. The last one just married 2 weeks ago. Now it's only you. Only me remain. How am I going to serve God? Then I'm only me no go get husband. So you think in your mind, in your little brain, you think God rewarded these people with men and left you. The reward of God for your service is a man. God! How small you think about God. That even though reward for service is a man, is anybody there now, their men will be compared to your own man. Will be compared to your own man. Are you all listening to me tonight? Let's round up. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Next part of scripture, very fast. But he said, no, least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Next part of scripture. Let both grow together unto the harvest. At that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them and in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Next part of scripture. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Listen, he's trying to cover up something here. He said, like a mustard seed, which a man, he's trying to make them understand. If you understand what was happening in Matthew 13, every parable built on the next. It's like I'm explaining something I've not finished, then I'm explaining the next thing to cover for what I just explained that he didn't understand. Another parable he put forth to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. Remember, tares and what? Wheat was growing together. He doesn't want to remove the tares because it will affect the wheat. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Then he now goes to the next parable and said, the kingdom of heaven can be likened to a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. Next part of scripture. Seed interpretation. Which indeed is the least of the seeds, but when it is grown, remember we're talking about seed before you got here too. It is greater than the house and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. You know what he's trying to say? Even though those people and things and situation and addiction is around you and etc. problems around you, God is saying you can be likened to a mustard seed. If your faith is as little as a mustard seed, do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said if you keep on fueling that faith in prayer, you can rise like a tree. Oh, ye mountain that stand before Zerubbabel, you shall be brought low. God is saying, I can take you up, bigger than any towers around you, any problem around you, any situation around you, that the birds of the air will begin to find their nests in you, comfort in you. Just the initial parable made you look like a victim, but look at the next parable, trying to make you understand that you are more than a conqueror. See the next parable. Mind blowing. Before we pray, he said another parable he spoke to them: the kingdom of heaven is like living, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all living. It doesn't make sense like this. Give me in the Amplified, the classic, because some people don't get it. He said, he told them another parable: the kingdom of heaven is like living sodor, which a woman took and covered over the 3 measures of meal or flour till all of it was living. Give me the TPT's rendition. But I hope you're understanding this. It's very easy. He said, then he told them another parable: heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to yeast. That's what I'm looking for. You all know yeast, right? That a woman takes and blends into 3 measures of flour, and then waits until all the dough rises. Woo! They say, look at, they say, oh, imagine we are the only righteous people, which we are not. There are many righteous people in this Makurdi, but imagine we are the only righteous people in Makurdi. The Bible is saying we are enough, like yeast. That because we're in Makurdi, 3 measures. We're in 3 mudu of flour. That's our Makurdi now. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He said, forget about the flour may be plenty. The yeast is very small. He said, we can affect the shape of Makurdi. We can reshape Makurdi. We can give Makurdi shape. I see somebody catching this fire tonight. You are the only one who is born again in your family. You can give your family shape. You are the only one who is righteous in your neighborhood. You can give your neighborhood shape. And Wadata is full of darkness. You can bring light to Wadata. You are too much for your city, too much for your family, too much. Don't think, Pastor, I have some limitations. My family, they know they hear word. They don't used to yeast it. Forget about it. The Bible said you are the yeast. Forget about it. You are the yeast. Don't see the limitations. Refuse to see the limitations. Pray. Pray in the spirit. When you preach the word and you are not listening, you pray. There are 2 ways of farming, natural and artificial. Sometimes rain will fall naturally and it'll cause the plant to grow. And sometimes there's what we call irrigation, the artificial supply of water. That happens in a place of prayer. It is called intercessory prayer. When you define situations, you define destinies. Let's pray. Everybody be on your feet and pray. We have come to the end of this service. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Shabakatala balia kalabalia karadadaya. I sense new wine, fresh wine, and the old wine skin is being destroyed, is being replaced. The Holy Ghost is causing men to shed all the old skin for the new wine skin, because a new wine is here.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.